to Psalm 23 as we continue our study through this psalm. This morning I'm going to be preaching about the sheep and the shepherd, and that man is an intimate creature. We saw in verse 1 that man is a helpless creature. Verse 2, he's a homeless creature. Verse 3, a wandering creature. Verse 4, a fearful creature. This morning, man is an intimate creature. I know we've read this psalm quite a bit. I know many of you have it memorized, but I'd like to again go through this psalm. So if you would please stand together as I read this morning and as you follow. I had you read last week with me, but just listen as I read and you follow along either from memory or by having the scriptures before your eyes. Let's listen as I read. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My message this morning is from verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Father, as we look into this verse, inspired by your Holy Spirit through your servant David, pray that you would do a work in our hearts. Perhaps there's someone here you know, Lord, who does not know you as Savior and therefore not as their shepherd. May today be the day that they come to know you in that way. Perhaps there's a believer here, one who has you as shepherd but is wandering. May they come back to the fold, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I say that man, as a sheep, is an intimate creature. Do you ever see sheep alone? Typically, when you see sheep, they are with other sheep. It's very rare to see one sheep all by itself, because sheep are creatures of fellowship, or we say a flock. They are intimate. They need other sheep. It's funny to watch as a dog or is herding the sheep, that those sheep just, it's almost like a wave. They stay together no matter what they're doing. They don't just scatter like this. One or two may sometimes wander off. They're going to come right back to the flock. It's interesting that in the Bible, God's people are typified as sheep. We gather together in a flock. Sometimes we call a church a flock. And the pastor, the shepherd, the under-shepherd. We need each other, folks. There needs to be that fellowship, that communion, one with another. You need to be with other believers. I need to be with other believers. You can go wandering up and you can say, I'm going to get my food from preacher such and such on the television this week. Let me tell you something. You're going to be starving after a while because you need other sheep. You need accountability. You need to be around other Christians who are going to encourage you, sometimes rebuke you. You need other Bible-believing Christians. It's like a log that is burning in the fire. You take that one log out there and you set it off by itself. What's going to happen to that log? It's going to burn out. The flame's going to die. That's what happens to believers who think they can go alone. The fire is going to die out. You need to be in a Bible-preaching church where you can fellowship with other believers. It is necessary. So man is an intimate creature. Man needs that communion. He is communal. God created you for fellowship. In Colossians 1:16, the Bible says all things were created by Him and for Him. We are not made to be all alone. In fact, that's why God created for man a woman. It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him. Because man was not good alone. So man was created as an intimate creature. What happens when an item is not used for the purpose for which it was created? It's abused, it's misused, and early on it's of no use. My dad was very particular about his tools. Very particular because he used them all the time. He didn't like it when a tool was not used for its intended use. If he would see me banging with a screwdriver to get a nail in because a hammer wasn't available, I was in big time trouble. Because a screwdriver, folks, is not a hammer. And when you take a tool and use it for what it is not intended to be used, it's abused, misused, and early on, it's of no use. Furniture is not for standing on. I learned that early. And towel racks are not to swing from. I mean, I could go on and on. Think about what you have at home that's being used in a way it shouldn't be used. It's interesting how furniture takes on a secondary application. We store things on places where they shouldn't be stored. And after a while, it's kind of like, why am I doing this? This isn't right. Folks, when man is not accomplishing the purpose for which God intended him, he's abused, misused, and early on of no use. The fellowship that man was created to have was broken because of sin. Man who does not have fellowship with God abuses himself, misuses himself, and quickly becomes of no use. Because God made you for intimate fellowship with Him. Notice that in this passage in Psalm 23, other sheep are not really even mentioned. Have you noticed that? What's the emphasis? It's the shepherd. And so I want to point something out here. The only time you're going to have good fellowship with other sheep is when you are following the shepherd. This is where so many problems arise in marriages. One of the two begins to go their own way. Maybe even emphasizing other sheep to the exclusion of the shepherd. We are intimate creatures, but folks, our first intimacy, and this goes back to what I was preaching all through the summer, our first responsibility, our first priority is our relationship with the shepherd. Then it's with the other sheep, including the spouse. Then it's with the children. But number one is your relationship with the shepherd. And if your relationship with the shepherd is not right, you cannot have the right relationship with other sheep. And that's why other sheep begin to fight, is when somebody's getting out of line, when somebody is starting to follow another kind of a shepherd. You can try to establish the right kind of relationship with every person you meet, but until you have intimacy with your shepherd, the right kind of fellowship with your Creator, you cannot have the three things I see in this verse 5. You cannot have true assurance. You cannot have true refreshment. You cannot have true satisfaction. Those three things is what I see between the punctuation marks in verse 5. Let me just go through it and give you the outline. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Folks, that's assurance. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's refreshment. My cup runneth over. That is satisfaction. So if you're going to have those three things, it's going to stem from having the right kind of fellowship, the right kind of intimate relationship with the shepherd. How does the whole passage start off? How does the psalm start off? The Lord is my shepherd. From that comes the fact that he anoints, that he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. Let's look at that first thing that I was talking about, the assurance. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Look at the action there. The action is preparation. Thou preparest. That's the subject of the preparation. Thou preparest. God does the preparing. And that word preparing has the idea of setting something in order. Arranging, even as you would do if you invited somebody over to your home for a meal. You're going to arrange the table. You are going to prepare that table. You're going to get the dishes on there and the silverware, the forks on the left, the spoon and the knife on the right, correct? And then if you have that salad fork, where does that go? I think it goes on the top. I don't know. I hear murmurings all through here. Some people put the two forks side by side. I just remember going to a meal once with the Joneses. And Mrs. Jones was the epitome of proper etiquette. And they had invited some folks over. And guess where they sat me? Right beside Mrs. Jones. I guess I needed it. And at one point during the meal, I mean, this was a very formal dinner that Juanita and I were invited to. And I did something, and she put her hand on me and said, "Now, dear, you do that later." Now, you know, believe it or not, I felt completely at ease eating there. Because that's what proper etiquette is all about, is to make the guests feel at ease. And I really felt at ease. I felt like, you know what, I know what I'm supposed to do here. Thou preparest the table before me. God is arranging the table. He's the subject of preparation. But look at the object of preparation. It's a table. What's the table mentioned here? Two things about this table. It has to do, number one, with food. I hope you had breakfast, because when I bring up the subject of food at 10 o'clock, people start having their stomachs growl a little bit. Food or provision. That's the table. It's the same word used by God's own people when they doubted him in Psalm 78:19, when they said, they spake against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" You know, when they were complaining that there was no meat to eat. Can God provide a table in the wilderness? Did God provide a table? Did he set a table before his people? Very much so. The psalmist here has no doubt, thou preparest a table. It's a beautiful picture of God's goodness. Think back to, just a couple of weeks ago when you had your Thanksgiving dinner? Thanksgiving table is all prepared. You've got the best plates out. You've got the glasses, the tablecloth, the silverware, the steam rising from the food and the dishes, the uncarved turkey. And there you've got the picture of a meal. Uneaten. Sitting on the table with your mouth watering. Thou preparest a table, food. That's what the shepherd does for the sheep. That's also not just a picture of, you know, physical food, that God takes care of my physical needs. It's spiritual sustenance. It's the milk and the meat of God's word. So that he can say, as he says in Psalm 81, verse 10, open your mouth wide. I went to the dentist a couple of weeks ago, and the dentist found out I was a preacher. And he said, "Hey, I've got something I'd like you to see as you walk out. It's on the wall." And in fact, he got me up out of the chair to go see it. And here it is on the wall. It says, "Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it." Well, that's just exactly what he was doing. He was filling two teeth that day. God says, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." With what? Food? What was he saying to the children of Israel? You know what? You listen to me. You open your mouth wide. I will put in there what I want to put there. Because what I put there is good for you. Folks, spiritually, we need to open our mouth wide for God to fill it. It has to do with food, that table does. Secondly, it has to do with fellowship. A table then and a table today is a place of gathering. What do Baptists like to do? Yeah, not just every five Sunday month either. David is thinking the same thing here. Fellowship with the shepherd, fellowship with the provider. When we observe the Lord's Supper, as we plan to do next Sunday evening, we say that we come together to the Lord's table. We also call it communion. That word communion has to do with fellowship. In the beautiful Thanksgiving picture, I am seated at the table with the shepherd. Wow. So it's a place. The subject of the preparation we see, the object of the preparation, and now the place of preparation. Where is this table? Where is he preparing this table before me? In the presence of mine enemies? So I see here that this place is before me, a particular place, because it literally reads, "Thou preparest before me a table." I have ready access to it. In the beautiful Thanksgiving picture, I am seated at the table, but some people are not. Those who have no fellowship with God are not at this table. Those who do not follow the shepherd are not at this table. The place of preparation is before me. The place of preparation, secondly, is in the presence of mine enemies. And so I call that a prominent place. In the presence of mine enemies. Now, what is the enemy of the sheep? Typically, when you read in the Bible, you read about the sheep and the wolves. So here is the sheep seated at the table of the shepherd. And I kind of picture it this way. All around are these wolves. But is the sheep scared? Is the sheep frightened? Not so long as the shepherd is there. And not so long as the shepherd is the one preparing the table, right there in the presence of these enemies. And you think about in the Eastern world, as the shepherd might have these sheep in a lush valley where the food and the water is. What is lurking in all the trees and in the rocks surrounding them? The shepherd knows where the wolves are. But he prepares a table before me there in the very presence of mine enemies. The enemies are my adversaries, those who vex me, those who distress me. And that word, in the presence of mine enemies, literally has the idea of those who make things narrow or confining to me. Have you ever come to a place where you have nowhere to turn? Things are narrow. Things are confining. Where it's so tight you can't move. The children of Israel came to a place like that once. Pharaoh behind them. Mountains on either side, the Red Sea before them. They came there, and there they are, right there in the presence of their enemies. And God prepared a table before them by taking that sea and spreading it wide open. And they walked through into the wilderness where God began to feed them with manna. He had a table prepared. What did he do to the enemies? They were destroyed. The enemies are not at the table to partake, but the enemy may be in the sight of the table. I like to think of Pharaoh watching from the background as his armies are destroyed. Perhaps Pharaoh was right in the water himself. Presence of mine enemies. That word presence has the idea of God making the table and me before it. I am conspicuous. I am prominent. At his table. The enemy, in other words, cannot but know all that is taking place. They are there, but they have no access. By the way, there's a fact assumed here. The fact is, the psalmist has enemies. You ever heard of somebody, said of somebody, he has no enemies in this world? I wonder about somebody like that. If you're a friend of Christ, how is it that you cannot have enemies? And by the way, you're unlike Jesus Christ if you don't have enemies. Did he have enemies? Charles Spurgeon once said, if we were without enemies, we might fear that we were not the friends of God, for the friendship of the world is enmity to God. One of the commentaries I read said, the psalmist has enemies, but their plans against him have been frustrated because the Lord, in effect, has said, this man is my friend. The very verse we're reading here, verse 5 of Psalm 23, was declared to have been a favorite text in London during World War II. As London was being bombed, at communion services during World War II, when the bombing was at its peak, this was the favorite verse people would read. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies, even as the bombs are falling. Folks, when we struggle the most spiritually, we go to the Lord's table right there in the presence of our enemy. Right there in the presence of sin. Right there in the presence of Satan. Right there in the presence of the world. And we have fellowship with him there. Because man is an intimate creature. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's assurance. Thou anointest my head with oil. Number two, that's refreshment. And with this refreshment are two things. First of all, relaxation. If you read about sheep and how the sheep were cared for by the shepherd, they would use oil to keep the parasites away from troubling the sheep and making the sheep miserable. Oil was also used to treat infections such as the scab. If the sheep was left untreated, the infection would spread to other sheep, especially when they would butt heads. Then the infection would spread. But the oil was something that the shepherd would use for the refreshment and the relaxation of a sheep. You've ever seen cattle when the flies are really bad? They just seem miserable, swatting all the time and swinging their head around, trying to get those flies off of them. No, you know what? When the sheep's head is anointed with oil, the parasites don't bother. They're able to relax. And of course, we know that oil in the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit with by whom we are anointed. That's true relaxation, folks. But we're miserable with a parasite of sin when we don't walk in the Spirit. And then we affect others. It speaks of relaxation, that refreshment, that oil. Secondly, it speaks of exaltation. When somebody was to become king, what would take place? The head would be anointed with oil. And so that speaks of exaltation or honor. It speaks of someone being chosen from among others for a special purpose. In fact, what does the word Messiah mean? The anointed one. What took place with David when he was just a young man, called from among the sheep, because a man by the name of Samuel was there with a cruse of oil, ready to anoint the head of someone to be king. And by the way, when Samuel had come to anoint David, Samuel was concerned that somebody would know about this and would take care of Samuel, would come after him. He was concerned about King Saul, who at the time was the enemy, who would become the enemy of David. Isn't it interesting that there in the presence of his enemies, God anoints for exaltation his own? So the anointing even took place among his enemies. Folks, when the enemy distresses you, when the enemy makes things miserable for you and makes you wonder if you're doing the right thing, God exalts you and honors you for doing what is right. That is the refreshing anointing that comes from God that even gives you assurance, as we see in the first part. So there is that assurance. There is that refreshment. Thirdly, my cup runneth over. That is satisfaction. Literally, it could read this way. He has filled my cup to saturation. When something is saturated, what is that? When the ground is saturated, it can take no more. And floods occur. There you are sitting at that Thanksgiving table. Have you ever been saturated with a meal? Where you have to tell somebody, okay, that's enough. When we were visiting my brother in Sri Lanka years ago, And we had a Christmas dinner. In fact, my brother and his wife wanted to feed the Sri Lankans an American Christmas dinner. And so they bought turkey. Now, this is in Sri Lanka, and they had to import the turkeys. I think each turkey was like $60. How much you get your turkeys for? $60 for each turkey. They had, you know, the mashed potatoes and the gravy. They tried to do it the best they could to make it like an American dish. And the Sri Lankans loved it. But I'll never forget sitting there at the table. This was outside under a tent. And as we're eating, and as I've had enough, the Sri Lankan women would come to give us some more. And I would say, well, no, thank you. I've had plenty. They don't take that for an answer. They think that you're just being polite. And so slopped on my plate was a whole nother pile of food to eat. Until finally I figured out, you know what, I've got to cover my plate and say, thank you. I've had enough. Saturated. You know, when the Lord is your shepherd and you're following Him, there's tremendous satisfaction. In fact, there's saturation. To the point where you can't, it's almost like you can't take anymore. The blessings are so great. That's what it is to have the Lord as your shepherd. When you think about not being able to eat anymore, I've had plenty. Sheep who have eaten what their shepherd has prepared, who have been refreshed from being anointed with oil, are completely content. Wow, have you ever seen sheep lying in the field completely content? Sitting there or lying there, chewing the cud. You know, if there's lack of contentment in your life, it tells me something. You're feeding at another table. Jesus spoke about contentment, about having so much, you don't need any more. One day he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And he stopped there at a well. And a woman came to draw some water for herself and for some others. And Jesus said, would you please draw some water for me? Jesus later talks to the woman and said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Whatever else there is in your life that you may pursue for satisfaction will never fully satisfy. This woman had been married. She had had five husbands. She thought satisfaction was going to be found in that. And sometimes people think that satisfaction is fully found in marriage. Only when we accept what the Good Shepherd has provided can we truly say, my cup is saturated. I need no more. It is enough. Sin promises satisfaction, but only temporarily. That whole idea was inconceivable to that woman by the well. What do you mean you can give me water so that I will never thirst again? What are you talking about? Are you greater than our fathers who dug this well? And the idea that was inconceivable by the woman at the well is inconceivable by the unsaved world today. That you can be satisfied even without material goods, even with perhaps some suffering where you can be content as a believer because you know what? You don't find your satisfaction in things. You don't even find your satisfaction in people or material goods. You find your satisfaction in what the shepherd has provided and your cup runs over. Jesus later on said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water, living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The shepherd ought to be our satisfaction. And when He's your satisfaction, you're not going to be seeking it anywhere else. Turn with me to a couple of passages. First of all, to Isaiah 55. Interesting passage here where the Lord is talking to his people, and he says in verse 1 of Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in," the word there is fatness. Let your soul delight itself in saturation, in satisfaction, in contentment. Why is it that people today are spending money thinking that this is going to bring me happiness, and going here because this is going to bring me happiness, and spending time with other people and thinking that being around all kinds of other people is going to bring me happiness? It never does. Satisfaction comes from being with the shepherd, the one who prepares before me a table in the presence of mine enemies and anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. That's the first passage, Isaiah 55. The second passage is Hebrews chapter 13, where we read about contentment. Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now it's interesting, as you read verse 6, it almost sounds like Psalm 23:1. "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my," and it almost, you almost want to put shepherd in there. But it says there, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." I equate that with what I read in Psalm 23, verse 5. The Lord is my helper, and right here in the presence of mine enemies, I'm not going to fear what man is going to do to me, because he has prepared a table before me in the presence of these mine enemies. And I am now content, and I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That's why I can do what it says there in verse 5, "and be content with such things as I have, because he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Why? He's my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. What were you created for? Why are you here? Every one of you, and myself included, we're created for God's good pleasure, and he desires fellowship with you. But something has broken that fellowship. Adam and Eve walked in the garden. Perfect communion with God. Can you imagine that? A kind of a communion we're going to have when we get to heaven. But sin broke the fellowship, so much so that Adam and Eve hid from God. I was just reading this morning, I think it's Isaiah 59. 1 and 2, that says something to the effect that, is God's ear so heavy that it cannot hear to get you what you need? No, it's your sins. It's your iniquities that have separated between you and God, so that he has hid his face from you. You see, sin breaks the fellowship with God. Even as a believer, there may be some believer here this morning, you know what? Your heart's not right with God. You're not in communion with him as you ought to be. He's your shepherd, but you know what? You're looking over there at that other pasture that's through the fence, and you're lusting after that stuff when he has already said, you know what? You follow me and your cup's going to be running over. When you fulfill the reason you were created, when you have fellowship with God, then you're going to live life with assurance. Something that people who don't have it can't stand. You will have refreshment, something that the world craves for. You will have satisfaction, something the world cannot understand that you can have in Jesus Christ. The right individual relationship with the shepherd is necessary for the right relationship with other sheep. And if I, as an individual sheep, sit at this table, because it says, thou preparest a table before me, singular, in the presence of mine enemies. If we are all sheep that are following the shepherd, then we sit there at that table with him, but with others as well. And we have sweet communion. with each other because we have communion with the shepherd. You can read about that in 1 John chapter 1. That if I have fellowship with him, if I walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Do you have fellowship with God? Can you truly call him your shepherd? As you think about that, would you bow your heads?